Today's gospel is, in a certain sense, the imagery of today's gospel, the Transfiguration, is rooted very much in the opening words of the scriptures as we have them, and the very near the end of the scriptures as we have them. You might remember that in the beginning, right, in Genesis, right, there is this chaotic mess, right? But before that, there is God, right? There is God. And what is the first command? What is the first creation? The first creation, light. Let there be light. Fiat lux, right? And there was light, right? And this created light then becomes manifest through, right, the sun and the moon and the stars and these things, right, flashlights, right, all the assorted instruments that we have that generate and produce light, right, but it's created light, right? But we talk about God in interesting ways, and one of the things we talk about God, one of the images we use for God, is that God is light. We use that image all the time, right? We look for the light of God in our lives. We feel maybe we're lost. We need direction. We want the light of God's truth. All that metaphorical light language, right? And then in the very end of the scriptures, in the book of Revelation, right, we have this beautiful image, right, of the heavenly Jerusalem, right? This heavenly city, right, with all these people, right, all the saints, as it were, right? And the scripture says that the eternal city, the heavenly Jerusalem, did not need the light of lamps because God was the light, right? The Lamb who was slain is the light, the uncreated light of God. In the many earliest centuries of the church, for many centuries, there was this great theological argument about the Transfiguration. And it gets down to, what did the apostles see? What did they experience? Was it the created light of God? Or was it the uncreated light of God? Now, If somebody just asked you that question, right, before a little preamble that I offered you, you'd say, oh, I don't know, I don't really care. But hopefully you can understand why that became an important question, right? What is Jesus emanating? Is it just the created light? Is he just a reflection of God? Or is he God? Is he the uncreated light? That's the point of the story, right? Jesus is transformed. He's transfigured. He appears to them as he truly is. Dazzling. Right? Here in Mark's account, he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Now, where have we heard such things before? The text gives us a clue, actually, right? Where have we seen the glory of God in a dazzling display? Twice, right? Well, two people's experience. And if you were paying attention, you could guess. Moses, right? Moses goes up on the mountain of Horeb, right? Has this theophany, this experience of God. He sees God as God really is, as it were, and it's dazzling bright, and it's so bright that he can barely take it. And when he comes down off the mountain, that light is still shining, reflecting off of him. So they have to put a cloth over his face so that the other folks can look at him. Right? Moses. Who was the other one? Elijah, very good. Somebody paying attention. Excellent. You all get an A. Elijah. Why? Elijah goes up to that same mountain, right, and has an experience of God. And the interesting thing about that story is, and you all remember this probably, he goes up the mountain, right? And the same mountain, Moses' mountain. Right? And there's this earthquake, and God's not in the earthquake, and there's a storm, and God's not in the storm, there's a big wind, God's not in the wind. But God is in the silence. The New American Bible messes this up a little bit, but silence is a better way to understand it. In silence, God appears, but it's still that same glory. Elijah experiences the glory of God, and therefore, here they are today, right? The transfigured Lord shows who he really is, right? And he's accompanied by the two other people in history, right, who had already experienced this, Moses and Elijah. The uncreated light of God. Why is that important? Because the apostles up to this point don't really see who Jesus really is, right? We've been talking about that, right? Was it yesterday? Right, Peter. Clueless Peter. Peter is just dumb as a rock, right? Maybe that's why God called him Peter, right? I don't know. It might be, right? Not the sharpest knife in the drawer, right? He never quite gets it until Pentecost, right? Even after this experience, right? He sees the glory of God as God really is. And he still doesn't get it. The point is, we need the created light of God, right? Life would be tough without light, right? If we had to find our way around with no light at all, that wouldn't have worked too long, right? Well, we wouldn't have needed eyes, for one thing, because they'd have been useless. But it's the uncreated light of God which shines into our life and which God gives us occasions when we see it, very subtle, more like Elijah than Moses, right? Elijah experiences the glory of God in silence. And often we do too, right? The light of God shines in our life. And when we see the world with God's light rather than just these things, it looks different, right? So for example, I'll give you here's one we hear all the time, back in the box, right? This is very popular in these days. I can't stand to watch the TV news anymore. It drives me crazy. It should, right? Because you're seeing the world through the created light. Incredibly distorted, probably. I don't care which one of those things you watch. They've all got their agendas, right? And that will make you crazy after a while. What we need is to see the world as we experience it, right? Not the world. I can't do anything about the world. I can barely get myself together in the morning, right? Right? But I do need the uncreated light of God to help me to see the world. Hopefully a little bit closer to the way that God sees it. And if I do, then I can be transfigured, can be transformed by that experience, right? Seeing the world the way God sees it in just glimpses can be an incredibly transformative experience, can help us to see the world differently, see ourselves differently, see our brothers and sisters differently, see our husband differently, our wife, our children, the people next door. We need that gift. And today we see the apostles receiving that gift and a promise. Right? Don't tell anybody about this until after I've risen from the dead. Right? Number one, they'll never believe it. And number two, it's only going to make sense. This whole transfiguration thing only makes sense after we understand the resurrection, right? Because, as we've said many, many times in a good Franciscan key, that is the ultimate projection of the glory of God, right? In the San Damiano cross, we see the uncreated light of God shining into our world. And we also see it in the image of the Sacred Heart, right? That powerful image of God's incredible love pouring out and inviting us in. And in the Divine Mercy image, right? Yeah, back there, right? That powerful image of the light of the uncreated light of God shining into the world, inviting us to embrace God's mercy. Powerful gifts we've been given, powerful gifts. But you need to be able to see it, right? And you're not going to see it on CNN. and to be fair, we're Fox News or MSNBC, right? You're not going to see it there. But you're going to see it here, right? And what we do and how we are, right? And what we celebrate. And hopefully, we are transfigured as well. Hopefully, we are transformed.